But let's just go back like 4 or 5 years in the past. School presentations, any type of speech, any type of group meeting where I have to like stand up and give my perspective or my take.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
I'm Christian.
So today we're going to be talking about advocating for yourself as an adult.
Oh my God, what is that?
A vital skill at this age, I would say. Britney Spears has been making progress towards ending the conservatorship that she's been under for like several years. So seeing this type of self-advocacy at this level makes discussing this skill like especially important. And like with any skill, we know communication gets better with practice and with more understanding.
It's really important, and I don't think we've explicitly ever heard how important communication is in this whole process of navigating adulthood. And I think that's why we're so excited to have our guest here today, Christian. He teaches people from all types of backgrounds, you know, like you and like me, on how to speak up for yourself and communicate in everyday situations. So Christian is a highly sought after public speaking coach, most known for helping people overcome their fear of public speaking and getting them into positions of influence by using their voice. And so welcome, Christian.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be speaking to both you, Emma and Marissa, and more importantly, your audience.
Yes, yes. I think we're really excited to have you here because we're always talking about communication in little ways, and so we were really excited to actually have a whole episode dedicated towards it.
So what do you think, or what in your experience has been some like downsides to not like communicating effectively or just not communicating at all?
Oh my gosh, we're gonna get personal. So when I was like 17, I got my like first real relationship, like with a girl. And at that time, I used to play football for my school. And I just thought that she liked me because I used to play football. And when I left school and I stopped playing football, she like we were done. Like we broke up and we went our separate ways. And I always held that back. Like I always thought if I was not a footballer, then I had no value. So I didn't get into a relationship for like about a year and 6 months after that, probably 18 months. And when I got into that other relationship, I made it my duty to like tell this girl everything about me. Like, listen, I used to play football. I don't play football anymore. I'm trying to study and do good in school. I tried to give her all the little necessary details about me and not something else before we got into a relationship. And she accepted me for me. But when I got her, I stopped communicating to her. Like I stopped telling her how I feel. I stopped telling her what I don't like, what I like. And you know what happened? About 9 months into the relationship, she sat me down outside her house and she looked at me and she said, "I don't think I could ever get married to you. I don't think I could ever be married to you because I can't see you as like a husband of mine or father of my kids." And I was like,
"Oh, damn."
Like that cut deep. And I held on to that for a while. And I went back into some relationships. Now this is where I got stupid. I went in to do the whole what do they call it now? Yeah. Did the whole rebound stuff. This is the vibe, I'm that guy. I don't recommend it. And my most recent relationship that I was in, that one really taught me that if I don't work on this skill of communicating with my partner or a loved one, then the relationship will always end. A good relationship has to and comprised of good communication. Like, there is no good relationship that is that communication is not found at the foundation or somewhere in the mix of that relationship. And I think personally, that is that's a negative aspect of not being able to communicate your thoughts and feelings to your partner. As personally, business-wise, if you own a business, if you run a company, you work for a company, you're a CEO, your career, if you can't communicate to your colleagues, your superiors, or your inferiors, the chances of productivity will decrease exponentially versus you can't communicate and the opposite obviously happens. So both personally and business-wise, communication is a foundational piece to your success in either sphere, whichever one you want to look at it.
Wow. I think that's so true. And I think a lot of our listeners are really going to resonate with the relationship aspect, because I think that's where it comes up the most, you know, because especially because all the feelings involved. And we know that when it comes to like attachment, whether it's like our relationship with our parents, relationship with siblings, a romantic relationship, if we aren't communicating effectively, then you know the relationship is going to be rocky. And it just goes to show like how important it is and the role that communication plays in connection. And it's the same thing for even jobs. You see a lot of times you have jobs like with really high turnover rates.
You don't find that suspicious. You don't find that suspicious. You don't find that suspicious.
So the employees don't hang around long. You know, something is off about that work environment. The 2-to-1, the communication just isn't there. It's either management is not listening to the employees or even interested in catering to their needs. And it's just, communication is just so integral to our way of life that hearing you say, like, you know, you need to invest and build on this skill. It's really resonating with me. You know, it's something that people kind of feel like, oh, well, I know how to talk. I know how to talk to people. I'm good at communication. But it sounds like it's something that's really, it's almost like an investment in yourself. And because it's tied so much to how you view yourself and how you appear and show up in the world, it's something that all of us need to really just make time to be aware about. How am I communicating with others? Is this something that I need to work on? You know, because it sounds almost as if like until she kind of sat you down and spoke to you, maybe you weren't even like aware. And I think a lot of us are kind of moving through life, not realizing or not putting 2 and 2 together to say, I'm not communicating effectively and showing up authentically right now. I need to change. I need to invest in this. Because not all the time someone is going to say that. Sometimes people leave. And even like, let's say like, I'll use nails, for example. A lot of times I see girls say, you know, I got my nails done and I didn't like it, but they never said anything. They just get their nails done and they leave the salon and then complain about it on social media. Now, mind you, I'm guilty of this sometimes too, but it goes back to if I don't speak up and if I don't make my needs known, how is anything going to change? I'm just going to keep on getting those bad nails. And so it really, yeah, you're really hitting the nail on the head, Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you too. You too. Those nails, you need to get good nails. Like, it's so important. You can look at healthy communication from like 2 angles, at least I believe. First, you can look at it from, break it down simply to like, all right, I have a thought in my mind and you don't currently have that thought in your mind, but I want to form a connection with you. And in order for me to form that connection, I would need to transfer my thought or idea over to your mind. And, you know, the famous Mia Motley, she always says that, you know, more hands make light work. So if I want us to work together in a healthy relationship, then I would need to transfer my thoughts to you and you would essentially need to transfer your thoughts to me. But there's a caveat though. There's also unhealthy communication. And that's simply when there's a breakdown of ideas, a breakdown of thoughts, or that transfer is damaged in one way or another. And that could really turn things or the relationship into something that both parties don't like. And that's what it means for me. And for your listeners, if they're listening right now, public speaking or communication, for it to remain healthy, the number one rule is you have to be a great listener. If you could listen to understand and not listen to respond, then you probably, like 95% of your work is already done. So listening is like absolutely key for me.
Yeah, I have to agree. And I always heard this term that you're not communicating if someone is misunderstanding like what you're saying. And so I think it takes also like a lot of patience too, because sometimes you're so intent and you feel like what you're saying is being like very transparent and being like very clear, but it's almost like you're not really taking in what the other person is saying because you're just so focused on what you think you're saying. It's like it's almost like a communication wormhole sometimes.
Yeah, but you hit the nail on the head, because you guys have to remember, like, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And one of the most interesting things that I have learned from working with clients is that most human beings are very self-centered. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because if you look at our history over generations, for us to survive, we had to be like, all right, how do I protect myself? How do I protect my family, my community? But when it comes to communication, the less self-centered you are is like the better the communication is going to be. Like, really focus on who you're speaking to. And I can guarantee if you just make that small little switch from I need this to what do you need? Oh my gosh, the process is like, it's so easy after that.
Yeah. I can definitely resonate with a lot of what y'all were saying. Even more from like a psychological standpoint too. What we see as healthy communication, or what Dr. Virginia Satir, this like family therapist that is well known, she talks about how communication that is healthy is, you know, it's real. It shows genuine emotion. It's open and it's honest. It sends straight messages in the appropriate context. And for her, how you communicate also reflects like your own feelings of self-worth and your ability to communicate your thoughts effectively. So the healthy type of communication is congruent. You're being yourself whilst you're talking. You're not like being passive aggressive because you like swallowed something that maybe you're like, I should have spoken up about that, but I don't want to like, you know, rock the boat. And you're not just agreeing to what somebody else says. You're not trying to distract from the situation by using humor and not picking a side. And you're not deciding to talk about something in an inappropriate context.
Yeah, I think it also includes like there's an element of being present as well. I think like Christian was saying, we're humans and we carry in things, we carry in feelings, you know, maybe who we were speaking to before, a situation might have happened. And then when you go into a certain conversation or a certain environment, I think it's very easy to not be present in the conversation and totally just miss the things that's actually happening, because it's almost like we're communicating with a lens or our own personal biases as well.
So true.
And so it's like having that level of, I guess, maybe toning down our ego and just being present and actually engaging with the person seems to be very crucial in healthy communication. Because I know for me, oh my goodness, public speaking.
Immediately no. I'm telling you right now, I seen what I needed to see.
Like those presentations, like in college, oh my goodness, they used to be the worst. And I think the biggest thing for me was just this fear of people judging me negatively. Like that's the belief I used to bring into public speaking. And I think sometimes it's a belief maybe I even bring in sometimes when I'm communicating with people. But I noticed that if I kind of have that thought just floating around, it impacts the way I connect with the audience, I connect with the person who I'm talking to. And so for me, I have to tell myself, you know, they're human too. You know, it's very unlikely that they're judging me. They came, like if I'm making a presentation, then I know they came here to get information from me. Why would they be judging me? You know what I mean? I kind of have to like tone that down and make it less about myself and focus more on why am I here and what it is that I want to say. And I find when I'm able to like fight that inner battle, I connect better with others.
So true. And Marissa, I think that point you raised with, like, let me just be 100% transparent. Like, yes, I'm a public speaking coach now, but let's just go back like 4 or 5 years in the past. School presentations, any type of speech, any type of group meeting where I have to like stand up and give my perspective or my take.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
It was horrible. Like, my whole operation was, all right, presentation is at 3 p.m. All right, how do I get out of this? Like, let's figure out ways to get, like, we need to figure out ways to get out of this because I just do not want to do this. And that type of, that feeling transferred into, like, classes. Like, during classes, like, I would just hope and pray the teacher wouldn't, like, pick on me or tell me to give my, what do you think, you know? Christian, what do you think? Like, I used to try to make myself as small as possible so no one could, like, see me. Because if I know she points to me and I have to give my 2 cents, that's going to be, like, the scariest thing for me. And that feeling of hiding, it was horrible. But I would say this. It is a very valid feeling. And I know that from working with clients, that feeling is not something to be dismissed. And it's something to be acknowledged. And there's a reason behind it. So, like, I studied this this psychologist. You guys may know him because you're all in the field, Jordan Peterson. He spoke about this theory called the zebra theory. And what the zebra theory said is that there are a couple biologists, and the biologists wanted to study, like what do zebras do in the wild? And they would, like, write some notes. They would look at a zebra, choose a zebra, write some notes. And then by the time they look up, the zebra would be back in a herd, in a group. And they would lose that zebra. And then the whole study would be, like, flopped. So, like, okay, we have to figure out a way to, like, tag the zebra, at least one zebra. So they said, all right, we're going to cut its ears. We'll cut its ears or tag it with red tape so we know which zebra we're going to be studying. So they're like, all right, finally, we got the solution. So they tagged the zebra, and like 3 days after every zebra was tagged, they would always die. So then they were like, that's strange. Is it because we're cutting the ears? Like, that's why they're dying? It's because lions, who are the predators, were able to kill those zebras that stood out from the pack. And if you could understand that concept, when we stand out from the norm, which is standing up and speaking out, there's a threat to our community involvement. When you want to say, when something is like bubbling inside of you and you want to speak out, but you feel passionate about this thing, you run the risk of offending someone and you run the risk of being excluded from that social group. And as humans, we long for connection. That feeling of fear with public speaking, it's so real, and it shouldn't be like dusted under the rug. I think we should acknowledge it and start to build a relationship with that feeling.
Like, that makes so much sense. Like, especially when you link it back to that fear of speaking out, because if it is that we want to learn how to advocate and speak up, if I feel like I say something and people are going to turn their backs on me, or if I feel like they're not going to like me anymore, all that stuff would make it so much harder for someone to feel comfortable actually vocalizing what it is that they truly feel.
Especially with, you know, cancel culture.
Bro, yeah.
Like one thing and you just, like, you're gone.
Yeah.
I think for me personally, like, communication, my communication changed over time. But I think that now I have learned to communicate my needs a bit better, and I understand more the benefit of communicating my needs, even if my body is like, don't do it. It's scary. Like, just come back over here. Like,
you know, I think this is worth, like, talking about, because I know it's going to resonate a lot with your audience. So last year, when COVID hit and the lockdown and all that stuff was taking place, my personal goal was, well, my career goal was really and truly to become a lawyer. Like, That's what I've spent the last 5 years studying. That was what my mom, dad, family, aunties, uncles, brother, I have no brother, cousins, what they expected of me. Like, that was a serious expectation they had of me. And I came home and I had this kind of like this breakthrough moment where I'm like, I don't want to be held hostage to like an employer or someone who determines my income, which determines my economic situation. But 99% of my family thought otherwise. And I told myself, like, I'm going to try this thing. I'm going to try to just start my own online business, but no one could have seen it. Like, there was like 3 months of my life where I was actually battling with like slight depression because of the rejection I felt from my family. Think of like a black sheep. I was like a black sheep for like 3 months. During that time, I was like wounded. Like, the wound was really fresh. And it's only when I like sat my mom down a day, and instead of me telling her what I wanted to do, I used a scenario where she could have been placed in my situation and expanded that scenario, but she's the subject. I'm no longer the subject. I made her the subject. And it's only when I started doing that with her and different members of my family, that's when they got it. That's when they got it, because they couldn't see it like from my perspective. They could only see it from their perspective. And from then, the relationship has been obviously better. You know, my family believes in me now and they support me. So that little small switch was like crazy.
I think that really just speaks to how sometimes you also have to like meet people where they are. Because even if we might be communicating our needs or communicating what it is that we really want, we still could receive like backlash. So in your experience, like you felt like you became the black sheep. But then what was good is that you recognize, well, let me try to communicate in a different way. You know, and I think that's the thing. Sometimes we become comfortable with our regular communication patterns. We don't always recognize maybe opportunities that we could still get the message across, but just in a different way. And so it was good that in that moment you were like flexible enough to say, let me try put them into my shoes so they could kind of see where I'm coming from. And I'm really glad to know that like just such a small like change allowed them to say, yeah, you know, Christian does have a point. He could be his own boss.
Yeah, and it also speaks to like, you know, you just staying authentic throughout the whole thing. Like, it might have been scary. It might have been daunting. So that was really brave. Kudos to you.
Yeah, it was rough, but I know a lot of people go through it. Mm-hmm. I was actually talking to a client yesterday and he was saying like, he just signed his first like official paid client, and the demands that he's getting from the girl, which is his client, is like so diverse, and like he doesn't have all the answers and he feels like he is not worthy enough to be coaching her. He was like, when would I be able to have things under control like you? And then when he said that, I knew he was misunderstood. I'm like, listen, I'm going through it. Like, you're going through it. Everybody's going through it. Whatever it is, just know everybody's going through it. Change your relationship with it so it doesn't control you, and then you could now start to control it. My it was like my parents not accepting, family not accepting them. So on and so forth.
So do you feel like that situation with your family is what kind of like sparked this whole interest in being like a communications coach and your passion for communication and public speaking?
Well, I wouldn't say that's what sparked it. It definitely helped me become more true to myself. Mm-hmm. But what sparked it was a host of failures that I went through. So I tried to look, guys, you're going to laugh at this, but I was trying to build a business for like since 2019 while I was in university. I started, I didn't think I could say this, but anyway, who cares? I started selling branded t-shirts. Then I started this illegal one. I started up a poker room. Then I joined a network marketing company. Oh my God, that was so interesting.
Like the pyramid scheme stuff?
Yeah, it is like a pyramid scheme. And I started searching and searching and searching. And then I bought all these courses. I think I spent like 3,000 US on courses, just courses. Like, I need to figure this thing out. And luckily for me, I came across a coach, a business coach. And he was able to tap into what I'm passionate about. I was like, okay, public speaking. And he helped me hone into that skill. And he helped me turn it into a business.
Wow.
So it was partly him and it was partly me recognizing it. But I would say my family not being on board at first was more so like a test to go through for me to kind of get the momentum rolling. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
Wow. So I think we like spoke about several things that make it maybe more challenging for us to speak up and advocate for ourselves, like kind of how you had to too. Could you think of, or do you have any other ideas about what makes it hard for us to do this?
Yeah, one major one. Think back to when we were like in the caveman days, right? Think back to that time. You had the men who were the hunters. They would go out and get the food. You would have the women who would, like, when the men bring the food, they would prepare the food and take care of the community. And you would have young boys who are not old enough to go and hunt. So they would stay most of the times with their moms. And then at the, like, let's say 6 p.m., 7 p.m., the hunters would come back and then they would cook the meal around the fire, right? It was like a normal day. And around the fire, the hunters would share stories about what happened during the day. How they would have fended off a lion, how they would have protected themselves, how they would have survived out in the jungle. And it's through those stories that the little boys were able to basically inject into their minds and prepare them to go and face the jungle so they could basically save or protect their lives and become better hunters. So the better you were at telling stories back in those days will literally determine if you survived or not. Because if you were a hunter and you weren't telling these stories to your tribe, then you weren't educating your tribe. You weren't giving your tribe the best possible chance of surviving and maintaining the community. So that transferred and like probably like centuries passed by. And now we found like radio. Radio became a thing. Then we moved from radio to television, and then from television to now today's social media. But the principles don't change. Emma, your story, Marissa, your story, and who and the audience who's listening, your story is so unique and valuable that once shared, it could help aid or transform someone else to either become better, to be more educated, to have influence in a positive way. And you have that's like, I call it diamonds. You know, diamonds are rare. Your story is so rare. Like, yeah. Think of it. There's nobody with Emma's story or experiences. There's nobody with Marissa's story or experiences. And when supply is low, demand is high. You are literally special stories and special experiences waiting to pass on to the world so you can leave your legacy into the world. And that's what I believe. And for anyone listening, hone into your story and feel comfortable in your skin and be sure to educate and inspire those around you. That's, in a nutshell, what I think about that question.
It's so true, because if it is that you feel comfortable in your skin, like you say, and you feel like you're valuable and what you have to say is valuable, then it's going to like motivate you to speak up more and to be more authentic in the way that you communicate. And I think when we speak about communication in general, I don't think people always make that link to self-worth or self-esteem. I don't think a lot of times people realize how much we have to contribute and to give to the world, and how important to have a voice is. And, you know, that probably does go back to how you were raised, the messages you received when you were a child, you know, when you wanted to speak out or when you wanted to talk about something. And it seems like it's such an integral part of now that we're adults and kind of like owning adulthood, owning your voice is also about like self-love as well.
Yeah. And then, like you said, so The reality is all of us didn't have, you know, models that displayed healthy communication styles. Like maybe in the family, it was a thing to avoid communication, you know, giving people the silent treatment, or thinking people could just mind read, when the reality is nobody really knows what you're thinking unless you vocalize it to them. And then maybe when you did speak up, you were met with like harsh consequences, like yelling or punishment. If you have like those type of experiences, it will make sense why speaking up when something bothers you is like difficult. So I
kind of gave you like the theoretical side of it. I think I like the practical side of it as well. So like, what do I do? Like, how do I hone my story? How do I hone my skills? Like, I'm sure that's a major question, right? I started this challenge with a couple of my clients, and it's really simple and anyone can do it. It just takes like 5 minutes a day. Every day at like anywhere, right before you go to bed. So if you're someone who goes to bed at 9, you can do this at like 8:45. If you go to bed at 10, 9:45, and so on and so forth. Literally, you take out your smartphone, or whatever phone or camera. I use a camera. And I literally list and document all the things that happened to me during the day and all the lessons that I learned during the day and all the emotions I felt during the day. Now, this exercise will do one of two things. First, the more you do it, is the more you would find your voice, because you can't learn your voice. You have to literally find your voice by speaking. And if you want a private place, you on your phone is pretty private, and it's only between you two. And I think it's like, it, you normally find your voice based on my clients, like their results. They told me that like they understand their voices now. Like by anywhere between 3 to 4 weeks, you will start to pick up on a natural cadence. You'll start to pick up on a natural tone. And you will realize, oh, this is how I speak. And if someone else speaks to me, I could just jump back into my natural voice. So you know your natural voice now by week 3, week 4. But what's even more amazing with that exercise is that the review part. So when you review all those videos, those short little 2 to 3 minute videos that you've did, you would be surprised at how much you've grown from when you started to where you are. The lessons you would have learned. And those same lessons is what you can use to speak to others. And that creates more value for you. And you create more value to the marketplace.
So I think that's a very helpful tool. And it, when you were speaking, it almost reminded me of journaling. So journaling is okay, my dog wants to join the podcast.
your dog has no fair public speaking.
None at all. But journaling.
I have a puppy as well. And when she was like now starting to walk and stuff, yo, she was just so much noise. And like I would have clients on and I'm like, hey, get out of here. But you just get used to it. And it becomes a funny part of the podcast or your literal, like your coaching call.
Even sometimes in my work meetings, I'm like working and then Bella just like pops up and she's just like, hey, I want to join. But she definitely is just a part of life now. But like I was saying, the journaling, it reminded me so much of journaling. Now, mind you, I struggle with being consistent with journaling, but I understand why it's so important, because it's similar to like what you said, for people who aren't really sure of how they're feeling, writing it down helps you to get a better understanding of what I'm feeling and almost like how to process those emotions better. Cause you kind of learn, it's almost like you're learning yourself as well. And so I kind of like saw that like in a parallel to the exercise that you were saying, because journaling, it kind of helps you to, I think it also helps you to find your voice almost in a way.
So yeah, totally agree. Like that 100%, it was like a, extension, or I should say like a comparison of journaling, because I had a client who, she wanted to journal, but she's like, it's so time consuming. was like, well, just jump on the camera and say the same thing you're going to write. And then she's like, okay, I can do that. I'm like, all right. Perfect, perfect fit.
Yeah. So people might like me with adrenaline isn't. I think the camera thing, I'm definitely going to try it because it seems like it's a bit more my speed.
Yeah, I was definitely thinking that about like recording yourself too. And I think, like Marissa was saying, like it gets you more comfortable, you know, figuring out what you need, what you feel. And that's something that makes communication hard too. Like if you don't know what you feel and what you need and you're not comfortable with like identifying that, how can you communicate it? And then like the videoing too would also get you comfortable being vulnerable and, you know, honest about your feelings, your fears and all of that. And that's the reality of things, is that can be scary sometimes. And yeah, sometimes it feels like maybe it's safer if I don't say anything, especially if you feel like uncertain about whether you'll be rejected or taken seriously or so on.
And I mean, just to add to that, Emma, that exercise, yes, it could be a little overwhelming in the beginning, but as you like get past week three, week four, like I'm personally doing it for like 100 days with a couple of my clients, and you honestly begin to like think of it like this: 95% of the world is not trying to focus on becoming better communicators. There is like, it's too scary. I just prefer not to. So if you actually sit down and actually want to hone this skill, you are going to be competitively more advantageous in that field compared to like 95% of the world. So the risk to reward is like exponential, and you put yourself in a much better position for your career, for your job, for your business, your podcast, and so many other areas of your life and relationships, if you just simply just actually take an intentional aspect towards this skill.
Right. Those are definitely some benefits. Yeah. So it sounds like when you don't communicate effectively, there's like, well, your needs don't get met, or they're not met in the way that you need them to be met. So like you said, Christian, so in your work life, in your school life, at home, in relationships with families, in romantic relationships, your sex life, and so on. And then not getting what you want, like I know sometimes it can seem like, oh, this is just a small thing, but all these little small things really add up, and they can have collectively like big impacts on your mental health, on your stress level, on your self-esteem. And then this can communicate to you, like it's kind of like self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh, it won't even if I try and communicate again, it doesn't work, because you do things that lead to you not communicating effectively again, and then it doesn't work just like you thought it wasn't going to work. So like you being passive aggressive towards someone because they didn't do something that you wanted or yeah, that you needed. Now you're just like, see, I knew they weren't gonna do it anyway. And your behavior just like follows suit. And it's this whole cycle that isn't helpful and probably breeds a lot of resentment.
And M's like, so just like all the previous example, I would give like a theoretical perspective on like then a practical. In this same scenario, there's also a practical way to fix that. Like if you notice that you're not good at communicating, there's a simple process, really and truly. I want you to think of like a triangle, right?
Okay.
And at the top, you have what, and at one of the bases, you have how, and the other base, you have why, right? So there's 3 points of the triangle. At the top is what, one of the bases is how, and the other base is why. If you are in a relationship or you are engaging in communication with someone, for instance, someone has to do something for you, so you want someone to do something for you, it always starts with the what. Do they know what I want? To start off there. If they don't do what you ask them to do, it's because you haven't communicated to them effectively or expressly what you want. So you always start there with the what. Let's say they do know what to do. So you've expressed it properly. The next step, the next place you move to is the how. So maybe they just don't know how to do it. Like they need training. They may need to learn the steps. You may need to break it down for them so they know how to get the thing you want them to do done. But let's say they know the what, they know the how. Well, the last end of the triangle is the why. They may not be motivated enough or know the why behind why they're doing the thing. And that could prevent them from actually getting the thing done that you want. So I call it like the communication trimester. Okay. You start with the what. They need to know what to do. They need to know why. They need to know how to do it. And they need to know why they're doing it. And once you really hone in on those three areas of the triangle, you would notice that the people you work with would be more excited to work with you and vice versa, and your relationship would increase.
Okay. Well,
nail set. Yeah, I mean, it also sounds like a good way to do like modeling as well. Because if, let's say if I was the employee in that situation and I see like how, or even if it was a romantic situation and I see this is how my partner communicates with me or how my manager communicates with me, I'm going to think like, okay, maybe I could do this too to improve, because I'll also need to be able to know how to vocalize. I'm not feeling motivated, or I'm not feeling X, Y, and Z, and also feeling comfortable enough to say that. And that's why I think in addition to that, maybe a sense of becoming a more effective communicator as well is also kind of working on yourself and being more self-aware of you and your needs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think one way to do that too is like, just like taking some time to pause. And because I think sometimes we just like rush into things and then we don't really know why we're doing something or why we're reacting a certain way, to like, just like pause and just to figure out like, what does this really mean? What do I really want here? Like, what is my goal? And like really check in with your body too. Like, how am I feeling in my body right now? And how can I use this to better understand myself? Your brain's goal above everything is to make sure that you're safe, make sure you're protected, and that like a threatening situation doesn't like negatively impact you. It's also so happens though that the brain can be harmful in that way, because it's like, nah, we're not gonna change even if it's for the better, because the familiar is what is safe, even when the familiar is like harmful and dangerous.
You know, Em, as you say that, right? I don't know why, but I just that hit a chord in my mind, and I remember I have a friend, right? And he runs a fitness coaching program. So he trains people how to lose weight and get fit. And he was saying like, it was so difficult to get people out of their normal traditional eating habits and onto his new eating habits. And he came up with this cool, and it's like so amazing. He came up with this idea or strategy, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, where he would literally take, so his new eating habits, which is new to them, they don't want to change, remember that. And he would take their old eating habits and he would like bring a mixture. So he would bring somebody old and somebody new, and he would like slowly brick by brick get them off of the old and into the new without them even knowing. And when he showed me the results of that, I'm like, yo, you're a psychologist. Because what you just did there is like literally just trick their mind into accepting a new habit. And once they were able to form this new habit, they were able to just, it wasn't even like a change. It was like, I'm just doing the same thing over and over. And he would reward them for tasks done, exercises done, and all that good stuff with different rewards that he would do. So I thought that was kind of interesting that you mentioned that, because like he was telling me about that like a couple weeks ago.
Wow. Yeah, he was definitely like retraining your mind and like what you've been conditioned to think. So that's definitely useful. And he made it like that change, this big change, like more, well, less threatening by breaking it up and doing it bit by bit. Not as daunting.
So. Yeah. I would say one of the biggest hacks that I would have done It was, I'm trying to remember the actual time when it became real to me. I think it was at university. I was trying to become the president of the student body. And it was a big feat. Like, it was something that was scary. I had to go in front of the whole student body. I had to go walk around campaign, tell everybody why they should vote for me and all that good stuff. That takes literally entire soul. But it was the day before the elections were, like, the results of the elections came through. I really sat down for a moment and I took a piece of paper and a pen and I wrote down all of my marquee, like my landmark achievements I had in my life so far. So I went back to when I was 12 years old and I represented my country in tennis. I wrote that down. Then I went back to when I took my school to the national final in the secondary school football league. And I also played with the national under 20 team football. So I wrote that down. Then I wrote down transitioning from, like, leaving football completely and, like, taking a whole big step into university. I wasn't even focusing on university at that point in time. So that decision alone was big for me. Then the fourth thing I wrote down was, like, actually stepping into student leadership and actually putting myself out there. That was a big decision. And I wrote those things down. I was like, wow, that was big. Like, okay. And then that was big too. Like, yeah, like, you did good stuff. And it was that internal positive self-talk that got me to, like, be okay with trying new business ideas, making my own business, rejecting law school, not really caring about what other people said. It was only because of that positive self-talk that I did that really helped me get through anything I want to do now. And I think that's something that your listeners could, like, do. Like, you may think that you aren't good enough or you may not be worthy, but trust and believe, as I said, like, how your lives and stories are diamonds. Your achievements are also, like, real and they are considered. You just need to, like, write them down and remember them and speak to yourself about them. That will give you a big boost in your confidence. Not just with speaking, but, like, whatever you do. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I actually learned this from Tony Robbins. I teach it as well, but he's the creator of it, right? He said, like, and this is how he titles it. He said, this framework is what is holding you back from reaching your ultimate success. And it is also keeping you in your ultimate failure, right? This one little framework. I know that's a big claim, but that's what he said, right? It starts off with the story. So what is the story you tell yourself, or what is the story you've been told? So some examples would be, kids should be seen and not heard. Women should be in the kitchen. Stupid things like money doesn't grow on trees. Like, those are all examples of stories that we were told growing up. And that has basically became a belief, which is the next part of the framework. So it starts with story. That story translates into a belief that you have. And that belief becomes part of your identity. And once it's part of your identity, it's very hard to change. And your identity dictates your thoughts. So from your belief to your thoughts, so now you think in this way, you think in this manner, and that thought translates into actions. So you act based on your thoughts and based on your beliefs and based on the stories you were told. And those actions generate results. And when you get results, you tell yourself a whole new story and the cycle continues and continues and continues until you change the story you're telling yourself. Whew, that was a lot. That was a lot.
It was good, though. It's good, because if it is that you are holding on to a story or a narrative that makes you feel limited in what it is that you could achieve, what it is that you could do, you could really see how that's going to impact your satisfaction with life, your quality of life, and, you know, everything, you know, the things you think you could do, the things you feel like isn't available to people like you based on your story. And it just shows how important it is to rewrite that story, you know, rethink, you know, I can't do this, and re-recognize that even if something might have been true in the past, it doesn't necessarily mean it's true now, or that this is your story now. Like, we could grow, our stories could evolve, our stories are not like set in stone. And it's something that's very important too, because I don't think a lot of times we realize that it's a story or it's a narrative, because it just feels so real. And it feels like if I never saw my family members be able to achieve this thing, what makes me think that I could do it? And all that alone, you don't recognize how powerful that is and how much it impacts the choices that you make and the things that you go after, because you feel like it just can't be done, when really we don't recognize that it's just a story like holding on to us and preventing us from going after what we want. And so it really just shows you how important it is to change the narrative and recognize that we have more control about how we think and how we view ourselves and how we present to the world than we think.
If you're feeling like you're not worth it, if you're feeling that you're less of someone, if you're feeling that you don't have the confidence to speak out, just remember this. This is a fact. The mere fact that you're here, there's a 1 in 400 trillion chance of you not being here. The fact that you're born, meaning that 400 million times something has happened, 400 trillion times something has happened, and then you were that one thing. You were that one thing that came out. You being here right now. That means you should never settle for anything less than a 1 in 400 trillion chance. If you want to start that new dream that you have, if you want to start that job, you want to start that business, you want to start that podcast, the odds of you being successful with those things are far less than 1 in 400 trillion. So you should never limit yourself, because you have already proved to the universe that you are like one of the most amazing things ever. You know what I mean? So that's a new story you should start telling yourself.
It's been so good like speaking with you, Christian. I feel like you have shed a light on a lot of things. And all I'm thinking now is all these things I'm about to start adding to my little routine, the video journals, you know, telling myself my story is a diamond, all these little practical things. I feel like it really resonated with me, and I think that it really is going to resonate with our listeners as well.
Thank you so much, Christian. And then again, thank you so much for like being so authentic, open, and honest. I think that when we actually talk about things and just like kind of push away the shame surrounding them, that's when we get like that healing, that's when we get that understanding, and that's when we get that idea that, you know, we're not alone in this very like human experience of life.
Yeah, and I appreciate you guys like having me here first to begin with. I know when Emma reached out and the first time she mentioned being on a podcast with her, I was like so excited. I was like, whoa, yes, you for sure, I'm there, count me in, let's get this show on the road. Because from someone who is trying their own thing and trying to figure out this whole life thing as we go along, I really appreciate, and I think I mentioned before, I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I think the impact that you are having on so many young people right now in the Caribbean and internationally is far beyond measure. And I want to congratulate you guys and commend you for doing it. And please keep doing it because the world needs you.
Thank you. It's always nice to hear like the support and like the validation for what we're doing. Like, yeah, we have self-validation, but it's nice to hear the feedback and the genuine feedback.
Yeah.
Agreed. And you dropped like so much gems in this hour alone. I know the listeners are like, how can we connect with this guy and get some more of you know, all these helpful hints and strategies. So for the listeners, if you want to keep in contact with Christian on IG, you could follow him at The Real Christian Atong. Let me spell that.
Yes.
The Real Christian, ChristianAtong. And Christian, go ahead and tell us a little bit about your Facebook group.
All right. So You got that correct though. Like I was waiting the real Christina song. That was good. That was good. Most people don't get it the first time. But so I host most of my trainings for free in a Facebook group. The name of the Facebook group is Professionals That Speak and Influence. You can just write it out in the search bar. And it is a private group, so you will see like three questions you have to answer. It's not tedious at all. And I accept a thing like every 24 hours. So within 24 hours, you should be accepted. And I go over all my tactics and strategies and all the good stuff that you want to know about speaking and having confidence in that group. If you want to, I do some lives on Instagram, not most, but I'll be dropping some lives on Instagram as well for you guys. So my goal is really and truly to help people become better advocates, have more speaking confidence so they can speak out about the issues that is hidden away from the world and create conversations about topics that are necessary, especially in this interesting times that we live in today. So that's what I do. And I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I don't know about y'all, but I'm definitely gonna look for that Facebook group tonight and join. So you'll see me. You'll see me requesting to get into that Facebook group.
I'll be joining too. I thought that was what you were doing just now, Marissa. When I saw her go like this, I said, oh man, okay. Marissa's already joining the group.
No, I was writing it down to start joining.